بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أسأل إخوانكم من مكتبة الموحدين أن نرحب بفضيلة الشيخ عبد الله بن صديق الضفيري حفظ الله تعالى ليواصل تعليقه على تفسير الإمام محمد بن عبد الوهاب لفاتحة الكتاب. فليتفضل الشيخ، مشكورا مأجورا.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، فكنا في مقدمة تفسير سورة الفاتحة شيخ الإسلام الإمام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى. قال رحمه الله تعالى بعد ذلك: فإذا تأمل العبد هذا، أي بعد أن ذكر الحديث الوارد في صحيح مسلم من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال: سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول الله تعالى: قسمت الصلاة بيني وبين عبد نصفين، ولعبد ما سأل. فإذا قال العبد: الحمد لله رب العالمين، قال الله تعالى: حمدني عبد. فإذا قال: الرحمن الرحيم، قال الله تعالى: أثنى علي عبدي. فإذا قال: مالك يوم الدين، قال الله تعالى: مجدني عبدي. فإذا قال: إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، قال الله تعالى: هذا بيني وبين عبدي ولعبدي ما سأل. فإذا قال: اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين، قال الله تعالى: هذا لعبدي ولعبدي ما سأل. قال شيخ الإسلام بعد ذلك: فإذا تأمل العبد هذا وعلم أنها نصفان، أي سورة الفاتحة، نصف لله وهو أولها إلى قوله: إياك نعبد، وهو ثناء على الله عز وجل وتمجيد له بذكر صفاته، فيدخل في التوحيد، يدخل صلاته في التوحيد. ثم بعد ذلك، بعد أن يقدم بين يدي دعائه ثناء الله وذكر أسمائه وصفاته، يبدأ بعد ذلك بتحقيق التوحيد عمليا، الألوهية، فيقول: إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، أي نستعين بك في تحقيق العبادة وتحقيق التوحيد وتحقيق الصلاة بخشوع وطمأنينة وحضور قلب. وفي هذا تنبيه للمسلم عندما يصلي ويبدأ بقراءة الفاتحة، يستشعر الاستعانة بالله عز وجل، وفيه إشارة للعبد بأنه ضعيف، لا حول له ولا قوة، ولا يستطيع أن يحقق عبادته لله عز وجل وتحقيق مراده إلا بالاستعانة بالله عز وجل. قال بعد ذلك: ونصف للعبد دعا دعاء يدعو به لنفسه. ثم قال: وتأمل أن الذي علمه هذا هو الله تعالى، أي من رحمته أن علم عباده كيف يدعونه ويسألونه، فيقدمون بين يدي دعائهم الثناء. ثم اختار الله أعظم الأدعية، وهو الاستعانة بالله وطلب الهداية، الهداية المطلقة، هداية البيان والإرشاد، وهداية التوفيق والإلهام، كما يسأله طريق الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء وحسن أولئك رفيقا. ثم يستعيذ بالله من طريقين، وهما طريقان يناقضان طريق الذين أنعم الله عليهم. وهما طريق المغضوب عليهم، وهم الذين يتبعون أهواءهم، وطريق المغضوب عليهم وهم الذين يتعبدون الله بجهل. فالشيطان يحرص على صد العبد عن فعل ما أمره الله به أو رسوله، أو يحث على فعل المعاصي، على فعل ما نهى الله عنه أو نهى عنه رسوله. ولذلك يحرص على أن يصد المسلم عن صلاته، لأن المسلم إذا صلى صلاة ذات خشوع وطمأنينة فإن صلاته تنفعه في دفع الفواحش والمنكر عنه، كما قال عز وجل: إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. ولكن متى تكون الصلاة ناهية العبد عن الفحشاء والمنكر؟ إذا صلاها بطمأنينة وحضور قلب وخشوع. ولذلك ترى كثيرا من المسلمين يصلون ولكنهم لا يزالون على فواحشهم ومنكراتهم، فأين الصلاة لا تنهاهم؟ علمنا بأن الصلاة المذكورة بالقرآن هي ذات الخشوع والطمأنينة. فالألف واللام في قوله الصلاة هي للعهدية وليست الاستغراق، أي لتلك الصلاة التي عهدناها بخشوعها وطمأنينتها وحضور قلب. فإذا صلى المسلم بتلك الصلاة فإن صلاته تلك تنهاه عن الفحشاء والمنكر. أما إذا صلاها بغير وعي وفهم وإدراك لمعنى ما يقول فإن صلاته مجرد حركة أجساد وأعضاء دون وعي. ولهذا يحرص الشيطان كل الحرص أن يدخل المرء بصلاته وقد ألهاه، ويخرج من صلاته وهو لا يدرك ما يقول. ولما لا حيلة لهذا العدو إلا بذكر الله شرع له أن يستعيذ بالله عز وجل. قال: وذلك لأنه لا حيلة لك في دفعه إلا بالاستعاذة بالله، لقوله تعالى: إنه يراكم هو وقبيله من حيث لا ترونهم. فإذا طلبت من الله أن يعيدك منه واعتصمت به كان هذا سببا في حضور القلب. فاعرف معنى هذه الكلمة ولا تقلها باللسان فقط كما عليه أكثر الناس. وأما البسملة فأيضا لها معنى، والبسملة تأتي بعد الاستعاذة. تقول: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، أي أدخل في هذا الأمر من قراءة أو دعاء أو غير ذلك. بسم الله، أدخل بسم الله، لا بحولي ولا بقوتي ولا ذكائي ولا فهمي، بل أفعل هذا الأمر مستعينا بالله متبركا باسمه تبارك وتعالى. هذا في كل أمر يسمي في أوله، من أمر الدين أو أمر الدنيا. فإذا أحضرت في نفسك أن دخولك في القراءة بالله مستعينا به متبرئا من الحول والقوة، كان هذا أكبر الأسباب في حضور القلب وفرج الموانع من كل خطر. إذن ثلاثة أمور، وإن شئت تقول أربعة أمور، تحتاجها أيها المسلم لكي تنتفع بصلاتك وتكون صلاتك صلاة ناهية لك عن الفحشاء والمنكر، ترتاح بها كما كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول أرحنا بالصلاة يا بلال، وكما كان يقول وجعلت قرة عيني في الصلاة، وكان إذا حجبه شيء صلى الله عليه وسلم لجأ إلى الصلاة. ليست ذوات الرفع والسجود والركوع بالجوارح دون وعي القلب، تحتاج إلى فهم أربعة أمور. الأولى تكبيرة الإحرام، أن تستشعرها، تستشعر معناها، وهو إذا قلت بقلب الله أي ذو الألوهية رب العالمين، الله أكبر أي أكبر من كل شيء في هذه الدنيا، فلا ألقي لأمور الدنيا بالا ولا أعير لها انتباها، إنما قلبي يستحضر وقوفه بين يدي هذا الإله الكبير. الثانية دعاء الاستفتاح، فإن في معانيه تحقيق التوحيد في جميع ألفاظ أنواع أدعية الاستفتاح، فيها تحقيق الألوهية والعبادة لله عز وجل. وثالثها الاستعاذة، أي اعتصم بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، فإنك إذا استعذت بالله وعلمت معنى الاستعاذة وأدركت معناها وأنت تصلي نفعك هذا. ورابعها قولك بسم الله، أي أدخل صلاتي بحول الله لا بقوتي ولا بذكائي، أدخل مستعينا بالله متبركا بالله عز وجل. فأنت يا عبد الله إذا استشعرت هذه الأمور الأربعة كانت صلاتك على خير ما يكون، وستجد ثمرة صلاتك في حياتك، وستنظر بعد ذلك أن أفضل لحظات حياتك عندما تقف بين يدي الله مصليا. هذا والله أعلم، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد.
أحسن الله إليكم وبارك فيكم ونفع الله بما قلتم شيخنا.
حياك الله يا أخي،
الله يحفظك. الله يحفظك.
السلام
عليكم. السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. It's been a few weeks since we had the class with our sheikh. The reason was because he was traveling. He went for take part in some da'wah projects and teaching in Indonesia. Sarabi's there in Indonesia. And so before the class, I asked him about how was his trip to Indonesia, and he said it was excellent. He said that he was pleasantly surprised and amazed by the situation of the Sarabis there and how the people are turning to the different institutes that have been set up for learning and how the people are adhering to the Sunnah. Indeed, whoever sees that situation will have a lot of happiness in their heart upon seeing the situation of the Sarabis there in Indonesia. He then began the class with his introduction and saying that we have been studying previously in the classes who precede this one, the introduction to the tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha by Shaykh al-Islam, Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala. And there was a bit of rewinding. We went back a bit and repeated part of what was previously explained. However, the Shaykh explained it from a slightly different angle and shed new light on the part of the text that we have already taken. And so, as the Arabs say, in repetition there is benefit. We started with the part of the text which is the Hadith Qudsi, which Allah Azza wa Jal says that I have divided the Salat between myself and my servant into two halves. And so this part of the text, the author, the Imam Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah, said one of the best things that can open the door for you in understanding Al-Fatiha is the Hadith of Abu Hurairah in Sahih Muslim, in which he said, I heard Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Allah the Exalted says, I divided the Salat between myself and my servant into two halves. My servant shall have what he asks for. The servant says, all praise belongs to Allah, Lord of everything in existence. Allah says, my servant has praised me. If he says, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most gracious, the most merciful, Allah says, my servant has declared my majesty. If he says, Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in, you alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek help from. Allah says, this is between myself and my servant, and my servant shall have what he asks for. If he says, Ihdina siratan mustaqim, siratan ladhina na'amta alayhim, ghayrin ma'budi alayhim, wa rabbalin, guide us to the straight path. The path of those whom the blessed, not the path of those who have incurred your anger, nor the path of those who have gone astray. Then Allah says, this is for my servant, and my servant shall have what he asks for. When the person enters into his salah, keeping this in mind, that he is reciting what Allah has commanded him to recite, and Allah is responding after each ayah, he enters into his salah with tawheed. He enters into his salah reciting this surah, which is dua, the greatest of dua, and before the dua of farad, that is the dua of requesting something, he makes a dua of thana, he praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So indeed, this is part of tawheed, opening up one's dua, opening up one's requests from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by first praising him, declaring his majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala, mentioning his glorious names and attributes. This is indeed implementing and acting upon tawheed. He then declares that he is reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, tawheed, by saying that he worships nothing and no one other than Allah. The person making the salah says, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. You alone do we worship, O Allah. We worship absolutely nothing aside from you. And in doing so, the person seeks the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person is seeking the help of Allah in worshiping Allah and Allah alone. Thus the person says, Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. You alone do we worship, you alone do we seek help from. The greatest thing that we seek Allah's help in is worshiping Him and Him alone, carrying out and implementing the tawheed. When the person keeps this in mind, that he is entering into the salah, seeking the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praising Allah before requesting of Him, declaring His majesty and glory. This is one of the greatest things that helps a Muslim pray with the present part, concentrating and thinking about what he is praying, contemplating his prayer. Also, this brings us to the part of the text where you may have noticed in the call there was a cutoff at one point. Perhaps we missed some of the words of the Shaykh. However, he said that another thing that would help the Muslim in doing this great thing, which is, this is what this treatise is about, this book is about, understanding the salat so that you can contemplate while you're making salat. Understanding the salat so that you contemplate and concentrate during the salat, not become distracted. This is all about ways to help Muslim understand his or her salat. When a person keeps in mind, before ever reciting Surah Al-Fatiha, when reciting the Isti'adha, reciting the Si'adha, saying, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. This is something else that helps them contemplate what they are about to recite of their salat. That's because when a person says, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, seeking refuge with Allah from the accursed shaytan, the servant is keeping in mind that he is weak, that he has no power, no might to do what he is trying to do, which is worship Allah, without the help of Allah and the protection of Allah from his enemy, whom he can't see. And so he is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect him from the shaytan, who attacks him from angles that he can't perceive. As Allah rahimahullah says, into quoting the statement of Allah azza wa jal, إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْهُ وَقَبِيرُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُ. Indeed, he is the shaitan and his soldiers see you from where you see them not. And so, the person seeks the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from his enemy, the shaitan. And this is one of the means of attaining what is meant to be attained in the salah, concentrating on what is about to be said. Because without this, without the protection of Allah, definitely the shaitan will distract the person such that he makes salat without concentrating. The only way to pray the proper prayer is with concentration, and the only way to do that is with the help of Allah and the protection of Allah from the one who means to distract you in your salat, which is none other than the shaitan. So thinking about the meaning, one says, A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim, or reciting al-Fatiha in the salat. This helps a person attain that presence of heart, that concentration that is meant to be achieved in the salah. Also, when the person contemplates the dua that they are making in the salah, which is the greatest dua ever. When you think about the dua that we're making, sort of the Fatiha, what is it? It's a dua for hidayah. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, guide us to the straight path. We are making a dua and asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his guidance. Guidance is of two types, bayan wa irshad and tawfiq wa ilham. Both of these, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Then we are asking Allah azza wa jalla to place us upon the path of those who have walked that straight path before us. Those who before us walk the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are none other than the prophets, the truthful, the martyrs, and the righteous. We are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to place us amongst their ranks. And they are the, as Allah says, Sirat al-Lathina an'amta alayhim, the path of those whom you have blessed. These are the people whom Allah truly blessed. The people whom Allah truly blessed are the prophets, the truthful, the martyrs, and the righteous. We're asking Allah's guidance and asking Him to place us on the straight path that leads to His Jannah, which is the path that was walked before us by those types of people. After doing so, we seek refuge with Allah from walking one of two other paths, the path of those who have incurred Allah's anger. These two paths are in total contradiction to the path of those whom Allah has blessed, from the prophets, the truthful, the martyrs, and the righteous. We seek refuge with Allah from walking one of two paths that totally contradicts that path of those prophets, truthful, righteous, martyrs, and righteous. And those paths that contradict them are the path of the maghdubi alayhim, secondly, the dhalin. The path of the maghdubi alayhim, those who incurred Allah's anger, are those who followed their desires, knew the truth. They chose not to follow it. They chose to follow instead their desires. The second is the dhalin, those who went astray, those who worshipped Allah, but they did so upon ignorance. Seek refuge with Allah from following either of these two paths, which totally contradict the path of those whom Allah truly blessed, from prophets, the truthful, right, the martyrs, and the righteous. The shaitan doesn't want us to think about these meanings while we're making a salah. He is as adamant as can possibly be to distract us in our salah, so we forget about all these valuable meanings. He is as adamant as can be in trying to push and repel the servants away from obedience to Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in trying to incite the believer to do what Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have forbidden. And so, the thing that Shaytan wants least is for the person to pray his salah properly. What Allah, the Shaytan, wants least is for the person to pray with a presence of heart, khushu, tama'nina, tranquility, submissive humbleness. This is what the Shaytan doesn't want. So one of his greatest objectives is to distract you in your salah so that you don't think about what you're saying when you pray. If he can get you not to pray at all, it's even better. He doesn't want you to pray that prayer that forbids lewdness and evil. When you do pray properly, when you pray that salat with khushu' with tama'nina, then that prayer of yours is something which repels fahsha wa munkar, lewdness, evil, and wickedness. But does every prayer repel lewdness and evil? When is it that the salat forbids this lewdness and evil? It is when the person prays with the presence of heart, when the person prays with khushu' and tama'nina, submissive humbleness, concentrating on what they are saying, thinking about, knowing the meanings of what they are saying, submitting while standing before Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the salat that prevents the lewdness, the evil. Doing an exercise and going through the motions of the salat, making ruku' and sujood and qiyam without thinking about what one is saying while in the salat, this doesn't forbid lewdness and evil. We see many Muslims who attend the salat. They pray with their bodies, but they continue to commit lewdness and evil. It shows us that they aren't praying with their hearts. They aren't contemplating what they're saying in their salat. And Allah says, "Inna salata tanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkar." Indeed, as-salah, alif lam before the salat. What does this alif lam indicate? It doesn't indicate istighraq. Sometimes alif lam indicates istighraq, meaning the salat means deep prayer, any type of prayer, every type of prayer. That's not what this alif lam means in this ayah. Inna salata tanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Indeed, the salat forbids lewdness and evil. What this alif lam means, inna salata tanha 'anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Indeed, the salat is the salat. This alif lam, the salat means for al-ahd. This is alif lam al-ahdiyya, meaning the known or habitual salat, the habitual salat, that which we are accustomed to, that which we have been commanded with and are accustomed to praying the way that we have been commanded to pray. That is the salat that forbids the evil, lewdness. The salat that we are accustomed to praying, following the orders, doing them properly, that is the salat. Not every single salat. Not the salat that's with the body and no heart. Salat that's with the body and soul and the heart and the presence of the heart and the concentration. This is the salat that prevents fahsha and munkar, the wickedness, lewdness and evil. The person prays, on the other hand, without contemplating what he is praying, without understanding what he is saying, simply saying things that he doesn't know what they mean, simply going through a routine of physical motions, this is not going to repel lewdness and evil. Shaytan is as adamant as can be to make a person enter into his salat and then leave from his salat without understanding anything between them. This is the goal of the shaytan. He wants the person to be totally distracted in his thought, not understanding what he is saying. It's for this reason that we must seek refuge with Allah from the shaytan of Rajim, asking Allah to protect us from our eternal enemy, the shaytan, wants to take us, distract us from that which we have been commanded with, praying with a presence of heart, of making that salat with khushu' and tuma'nina. When we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the shaytan, this is one of the greatest things that will aid us praying properly. Also, saying the basmala, saying bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, this is also an aid to us seeking the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in praying. That is because, as the author, rahimahullah, will read that part of the text, that paragraph from the text, as for the basmala, it means I enter into this affair, whether it is my recitation of the Quran, dua, or other than them, in the name of Allah. In the name of Allah, not through my own power or might, rather, I do so seeking the help of Allah, seeking blessings through mentioning His blessed and exalted name. This goes for every affair, whether religious or worldly, in which you mention Allah's name at the beginning, being mindful of the fact that you are beginning to recite the Quran in the name of Allah, seeking the help of Allah, and freeing yourself from any might or power in doing so. This is one of the greatest means of achieving a present heart and repelling all that may distract or prevent you from doing good. This was the paragraph from the text that corresponded to what the Shaykh Ahmadullah Ta'ala was explaining. He said that when we mention the basmala, when we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we are admitting that it is through the power and might of Allah, through the blessings of Allah upon us, that we are making the salat. It's not because we have the might and power in and of ourselves to do this act of obedience. It's not because we're so intelligent that we have arrived at this the correct conclusion of what to do. No, this is a blessing of Allah upon us. We are doing this, we are praying because Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed us to pray. This goes, we should think about this every time we say Bismillah. Every time we say Bismillah when beginning to do something, whether it's something from the deen or something from dunya. If we're saying something from deen, doing or saying something from the deen, or worldly affairs, just regular dunya affairs, that we begin with the basmalah. We say bismillah before doing anything, even if it's a dunya affair. We should keep this in mind. I'm not doing this because I'm so strong, I'm so intelligent, I'm so good. I'm doing this because Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed me with the ability to do it. When we keep this in mind while saying A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, this will aid us in preventing this will aid us in repelling all of that which prevents us from good in concentrating in our salah. So in essence, we can say that there are three, or rather four, matters that benefit a person in his salah, that make a person's salat that salat which forbids fahsha and munkar, which forbids lewdness and evil. In order for the person to become of those who pray like they are supposed to pray, become one of those whom the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded us to be of when we make our salat, one of those who are like the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, "Rihna biha ya Bilal," give us rest through it, O Bilal, meaning the salat. We're working hard, and when the salat comes, we get our period of rest, our period of tranquility. This is our break. This is the thing that we enjoy most in the day. This was how the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt about his salat. If we make our salat the way we're supposed to, that's the way we will feel about our salat. Not that it's a burden upon us, it's a blessing. It's the sweetest part of our day. When we pray, keeping in mind these meanings, concentrating on what we are reciting, This will help us become one of the people who pray in this fashion. One of the people who, following in the footsteps of the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who said that the salat was made is qurrat ayn. As they say in English, the apple of the eye, the thing that is most beloved for a person to gaze at, the thing that they love the most, and the thing which is the coolness of their eyes, the sweetest thing for them to look at. Salat becomes this for the believer. They pray properly. The thing that they love most for this dunya, the thing that gives them the most satisfaction, the most tranquility, the most rest. In order for us to pray in this fashion, for the salat to become this for us, we essentially need three things. So that our salat is body and soul, not just body. We need three, or rather four, things. First of all, when making the takbirat al-ihram, when first entering into the salat and saying Allahu Akbar, raising the hands, beginning the salat by saying Allahu Akbar, we need to think about the meaning of Allahu Akbar. We need to think about the fact that, first of all, what does Allahu Akbar mean? Allah is the greatest. Greatest. He is greater than absolutely anything in this dunya. And so when entering into the salah, we declare how great he is, meaning that we're turning to him, we're focusing on him, we're thinking about him, we're submitting to him, because he is greater than all of the affairs in the dunya, and we're not thinking about any of those affairs of the dunya. They're not important. When it's time to worship him, time to worship him and do nothing else. Think about nothing else. We should, because he is greater than everything else. He is greater than the affairs of the dunya. So we shouldn't give the affairs of the dunya a portion of what belongs to him in our thoughts, in our concentration, in our salat. We should solely concentrate upon his greatness, his majesty, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the first thing that we need in order for our salat to become that salat which is the apple of our eye, the coolness of our eye, the thing that brings us rest, the most beloved part of our day. We need to think about the takbirat al-ihram. Secondly, we need to think about the meaning of the istiftah, dua al-istiftah. We say the opening dua in the salat, which is filled with implementing and acting upon Tawheed. If we were to think about these meanings, we would see that these really put into practice al-uruhiyya, is Allah's sole right to worship. We need to think about the dua al-istiftah, concentrate on it, know its meanings, and not rush through it. Slow down and think about those meanings while making the dua al-istiftah. It's the second thing we need for our salah to be successful. Thirdly, we need to think about the meaning of the isti'adah, the fact that we are asking Allah's protection from our enemy or means to distract us from our salah, who wants for us to enter into and leave from our salah without understanding anything during the whole prayer, to simply make it a routine set of physical motions, have no thoughts attached to them. We need to seek protection from Allah so that our salat doesn't become this. We keep in mind when saying A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, what we are asking Allah Azza wa Jal for, this helps us achieve the salat and make it what it's supposed to be. Fourthly, contemplating the basmala. When we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, thinking about what we are saying, that we are entering in the salat in the name of Allah, meaning by the power of Allah and the might of Allah, not by our own power, not by our own might, not because of our own strength, not because of our own intelligence. It's a blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal. We enter into the salat in his name, seeking the blessings by mentioning his name. You, O Abdullah, O servant of Allah, When you think about these four things, the meaning of the takbirat al-ihram, the du'a al-istiftah, the isti'adha, and the basmala in your salah, if you truly think about these in your salah, you will find the fruits of your salah. You will see the difference in how the salah can either be simply a set of routine physical motions, or it can be something really powerful. Your life can be something that is the sweetest moments of your day. You'll see that your salat does become that which forbids fahsha and munkar, lewdness and evil. But only if you do these four things, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his tawfiq, praying the way that he has commanded us to. This is what Allah azza wa jalla made easy for us to take in this class. Allah azza wa jalla knows best. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.